The planet Earth spins in starry space. A bold text appears over it. Universal, an MCA company. Text, a film plan international production. Pierre David and Victor Sonicky present. A David Cronenberg film. The screen flickers and the title appears. Videodrome. Next, on a TV screen, an ad shows a man lying in bed with a TV and a teddy bear.
Civic TV, the one you take to bed with you.
A brunette.
Max, it's that time again. Time to slowly, painfully ease yourself back into consciousness. No, I'm not a dream. Although I've been told I'm a vision of loveliness. I'm nothing less than your faithful girl, Friday, Bridey James, here with your wake-up call of today, which is Wednesday the 23rd. You got that? Wednesday the 23rd. And I have a message. Remember your meeting this morning at 6:30 with Shinji Kuraki of Hiroshima Video. This meeting is to take place at the Classic Hotel, Suite 17. And needless to say, it's your first of the day. Don't you know anyone who works 9 to 5? Over and out, Commander.
The ad returns on the screen.
Civic TV, the one you take to bed with you.
Now, in a dark, cluttered room, a clean-shaven man lies on a couch before the TV with his hand on the armrest. The time on his watch reads 6:30 and the TV screen goes blank. The man glances at his watch as he lowers his hand and snuggles into the couch. He shifts uneasily. Later, he stands in the kitchen and froths up some hot milk in a large mug. He pours it into a cup of coffee and stirs it with a spoon. He picks up a few photos and takes a bite of a pizza crust. In a photo, a young naked woman stands with her eyes closed. In another, she lies in bed as a man caresses her thigh. The clean-shaven man smirks and sets the photos down. He dips a pizza crust into his coffee and eats it as he walks away. Daytime, a bus drives past a hotel. Inside, a man bangs on a door. The clean-shaven man strides down a hallway and knocks on another. A maid stops her service cart behind him and unlocks the room. The clean-shaven man takes something from the cart. He goes to knock again and a short man opens the door. He enters the room.
Well, I looked over the stills. I am interested. A little bit. How many shows you got?
13, with a possibility of another 6 if the sales go well.
You got cassettes?
Of course.
He motions to a colleague who places a briefcase on a littered table and takes out a cassette.
Now hold it. Show me the last one.
Wakarimasu?
Number 13.
But Max, you won't understand anything. Everything is set up in the first two.
My audience ain't gonna see the first two shows. Now show me the last one.
Now, a title appears on a TV screen, Samurai Dreams. The young woman removes the head and clothes of a Japanese Kimikomi doll to reveal a brown dildo within. Next, fog billows against a rice paper wall. Behind it, the woman stands naked and closes her eyes. She throws her head back and squirms slightly. Her silhouette appears on the rice paper wall. Daytime, in a conference room, Max, a balding man and a tall man sit at a table and watch the video on a TV.
What do you think?
Can we get away with it? Do we want to get away with it?
I think Oriental sex is a natural. I think you'll get us an audience we've never had before.
I don't like it. Not tacky enough.
Not tacky enough for what?
Tacky enough to turn me on. Too much class, bad for sex.
Maybe. I don't know. Soft. Something too soft about it.
He purses his lips.
I'm looking for something that'll break through, you know, something tough.
Now, a satellite dish sits on the rooftop of a brick building. It slowly rotates and turns to the other side. A cable connected to it runs through a barred window and into the building. It lies plugged into a small splitter stuck on a wall. A machine tethered to the splitter sits on a mantle. A bespectacled man rotates a dial on it and then uses a screwdriver on the mainframe of a device. He holds the screwdriver in his mouth and faces a machine. Max sits nearby with a cassette in his hand.
Hey, Harlan,
Oh, okay. Here we go. We'll come through on that. We only got about 53 seconds, so keep your eyes open. They've got an unscrambler, if you know what I mean. It sensed that we were unscrambling. And automatically changed its code on us.
What satellite is it coming from?
Snooker, I think.
Country of origin?
Assuming 53 seconds represents the period of delay, I'd say somewhere in Malaysia.
He uses the screwdriver again.
Okay, here we go. This is it.
Max steps up to a small monitor. On its screen, two masked men drag a woman towards a large wall. Max places a sheet of paper on top of the monitor.
There's a wall behind her. What is that, clay?
Yeah. Wet clay. I think it's electrified.
The screen flickers as the two masked men take the woman away. The screen cuts to black. Max glances at Harlan.
That's it.
That's it. Grotesque, as promised.
Okay. Can you hang a search on it next time?
Already working on it. I was pretty insulted when it just shrugged us off in less than a minute. Well, patron. Interested?
Max nods.
Yeah. Hey, Harlan, can you do something about these labels? I mean, this is supposed to be a clandestine operation. You know what I mean?
See, patron.
He takes a bite of the label, which reads this way to Video Boutique. Max notices a sign reading Home of the Buccaneers. Piracy in the high frequencies. He leaves later at an interview.
I find myself getting just a little nervous, even if you've been doing it all your life, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Of course, that's part of the excitement of it.
Mm-hmm.
Max lights a cigarette and looks at a lean woman.
Smoke?
She shakes her head.
No, thanks.
They sit before an older woman. ATV lies on a stand beside Max.
Just relax.
And now, here it is, the Rita King Show. And this afternoon, Rita's guests are Max Wren, controversial president of Channel 83, radio personality Nikki Brand, and media prophet Professor Brian Oblivion. Take it away, Rena.
Max Wren. Your television station offers its viewers everything from softcore pornography to hardcore violence. Why?
Well, it's a matter of economics, Rena. We're small. In order to survive, we have to give people something they can't get anywhere else. And we do that.
But don't you feel such shows contribute to a social climate of violence and sexual malaise? And do you care?
Certainly I care. I care enough, in fact, to give my viewers a harmless outlet for their fantasies and their frustrations. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a socially positive act.
What about it, Nikki? Is it socially positive?
Well, I think we live in overstimulated times. We crave stimulation for its own sake. We gorge ourselves on it. We always want more, whether it's tactile, emotional, or sexual. And I think that's bad.
Then why did you wear that dress?
Rena looks at Nikki's red dress.
Sorry?
That dress. It's very stimulating. And it's red.
He shrugs.
You know what Freud would have said about that dress?
And he would have been right. I admit it. I live in a highly excited state of overstimulation.
Listen, I'd really like to take you out to dinner tonight.
Professor Oblivion.
What do you think?
Do you think erotic TV shows and violent TV shows lead to desensitization, to dehumanization?
Is the microphone?
The television screen has become the retina of the mind's eye.
Yes.
That's why I refuse to appear on television, except on television. Of course, Oblivion is not the name I was born with. That's my television name. Soon, all of us will have special names. Names designed to cause the cathode ray tube to resonate.
Yes, I am,
actually.
Yes. Yes, I am very interested.
Nikki, is Max Wren a menace to society?
I'm not sure. He's certainly a menace to me.
Next in the video boutique.
When does the plot start to unravel here? I mean, who is this black guy? Is he a political prisoner?
There's no plot. It just goes on like that for an hour.
Goes on like what?
Like that. Torture. Murder. Mutilation.
We never leave that room.
No. It's a real sicko.
Brilliant.
For perverts only.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, look, there's almost no production costs. You can't take your eyes off it. It's incredibly realistic. Where do they get actors who can do this?
Oh, help me. I think he wants it.
Come on. It's worth checking out. Did you have any trouble locking onto it this time?
Not after I realized the Malaysia delay was a plant.
It's not coming from Malaysia?
You cannot fool the Prince of Pirates for long.
Harlan, where is it coming from?
Pittsburgh. That's in the USA.
Max raises his eyebrows.
Pittsburgh.
He looks at Harlan, who nods.
Pittsburgh.
Later, at a radio station.
Professional help.
But it's not me. It's my sister.
It's not your sister. It's you, lover. Can't you tell? Isn't that why you called me? You want help. You need help.
You're going insane. I can hear you disintegrating while you talk to me.
Nikki speaks into a mic.
I've got your number, haven't I?
I hate my sister.
Nikki notices Max and he waves.
I don't want to. It's ripping me up inside. But I do. I do.
You call our distress center. Will you call the CRAM distress center? They'll tell you where to get help, lover. And you need it. You need it now.
I will. I will. Oh, thank you, Nikki.
We'll return to Nikki Brand and the Emotional Rescue Show in just a moment. This is CRAM in Toronto, and we've got the weather for you.
Now in Max's house, Nikki scans through his cassettes.
Got any porno?
You serious?
Yeah. Gets me in the mood.
He pours them a drink as she picks up a tape.
What's this? Videodrome.
Torture, murder.
She smiles.
Sounds great.
Ain't exactly sex.
She plays the tape.
Says who?
The title, Videodrome, appears on the TV. On the screen, a naked woman hangs from the ceiling and a masked man flogs her.
God, I can't believe it.
I'll turn it off.
No, it's okay. I can take it.
Max stares at her and settles back into the couch.
Can you get it any clearer?
It's a pirate tape. They scramble it.
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it turns me on. Take out your Swiss Army knife and cut me here just a little.
So somebody's beat me to it?
He notices three small slashes on her shoulder. She leans back on the couch.
I wonder how you get to be a contestant on this show.
I don't know. Nobody ever seems to come back next week. Wait, what did you say happened to your shoulder?
A friend. I think he'd like Videodrome.
You let somebody cut you?
She smiles and nods.
Uh-huh. What do you think?
I don't know.
You want to try a few things?
Nighttime, they lie naked atop a red sheet on the floor while the Videodrome tape plays on. Blood trickles down Nikki's cheek as Max pierces a needle through her ear. He takes it out and licks the blood off of it. He turns her over and gazes at her. He transfers the needle into his other hand and takes a small eraser from it. He positions the needle at her other ear and kisses her. He carefully slides the needle into her earlobe. He runs his hand along her clavicle and kisses her deeply. He fists her dark hair with his other hand. He sighs and nibbles on her pierced earlobe. She closes her eyes and smiles. She squirms in pleasure. Flash, they lie on a large black mat in the room from the Videodrome tape. Red light bathes the bare room. Max grips Nikki's wrist and rocks against her. Now in Max's home, the TV screen flickers as it displays the empty red room. He stares at it intently. Daytime, cars drives past the Civic TV office building. Inside, Max strides down a corridor with his hands in his pockets. A cameraman and a suited man smile at him as they walk past. Max approaches the brunette and takes off his coat.
Max, thank God. Marsha Barak has been in your office for an hour. What were you doing last night? Didn't you get my message?
I don't think I'm ready for this.
Cigarette. Right. Office. Marsha, go. She's hot the trunk.
Next, he sits with a curly-haired woman and they watch an erotic video.
I call it Apollo and Dionysus.
Marsha, does it ever get good?
It's all good.
Darling, I am looking for something a lot more contemporary. I want something that's going to show people what's really going on under the sheets. This stuff is too naive. It's too sweet.
He kisses her hand and she smiles. He stops the video and turns to Marsha.
Well, it's your market.
Do you know a show called Videodrome?
Video what?
D-R-O-M-E, Videodrome, like video circus, video arena. You know it?
No.
It's just torture and murder. No plot, no characters. Very, very realistic. I think it's what's next.
Then God help us.
Better on TV than on the street.
Excuse me?
The brunette enters and hands Max a cassette.
Arnold, on line 3.
You interested in tracking it down for me? I'll see that you get the agent's commission.
I'm interested. Let me try.
She takes out her tape from the VCR.
Max, did you ever think of producing your own show? Right here?
She sits back down.
I could be your agent worldwide. I could sell Subterranean for you everywhere.
No, I don't have the temperament.
But if you did, what kind of show would you do? I mean, for the Subterranean market, would you do Videodrome?
Nighttime, in Max's home.
Max?
Mm-hmm?
Going away tomorrow, for 2 weeks. On assignment.
He glances at Nikki as she puts on her underwear.
Guess where?
L.A.
Pittsburgh.
Fabulous. Don't stay in the sun too long. I heard it's bad for the skin.
Oh, come on. Isn't that where they make Videodrome?
Yeah, why?
She looks into a compact mirror and fixes her hair.
I'm gonna audition. I was made for that show.
Nobody on earth was made for that show.
He takes a drag of his cigarette.
Hey, listen to me.
He sits on the couch beside her and snatches the mirror from her.
Listen to me.
What?
I want you to stay away from it. Those Mondo weirdo video guys, they've got unsavory connections. They play rough. Rougher than even Nikki Brand wants to play. Do you understand me?
She smirks.
Sounds like a challenge.
He leans back on the armrest and places his hand on his forehead. He stares at her pensively.
Got a cigarette?
He takes out a cigarette from a pack.
Not a challenge. I swear. You know, in Brazil, Central America, those kinds of places, making underground video is considered a subversive act.
He lights it.
They execute people for it. In Pittsburgh, who knows?
He hands it to her and steps away. She takes a drag and leans back on the couch.
Max.
He watches as she lowers her bra strap and cups her bare breast. She brings the cigarette closer to her breast.
Nikki, don't!
She winces as it makes contact with her body. A burn wound mars her pale skin. She puffs on the cigarette and offers it to Max. He slowly reaches out and takes it. She lowers her other bra strap and he gazes it closely. He sniffs the cigarette smoke. Daytime, in a restaurant, a woman wearing a belly dancing costume uses metal castanets as she dances. She smiles as she sways her raised arms. Max and Masha sit at a table and watch as the dancer gracefully descends a staircase. He scratches his forehead and Masha takes out a cigarette from a case. Staff members clap as the dancer expertly moves her hips to the music. Masha smiles at the scene and closes her eyes briefly. Max stares keenly as she lights her cigarette. She raises her brow.
You have a hangover.
Stay in play watching TV. Did you get in touch with our friends in Pittsburgh?
In a way, at a distance. A subterranean grapevine.
And?
Max, Videodrome is something for you to leave alone. It is definitely not for public consumption.
Channel 83 is a little small to be considered public.
Is still too public. Do you understand me?
No, what is it? What's the punchline?
I think it's dangerous, Max. Videodrome.
Why? But it's mafia. They do business.
No. It's more, how can I say, more political than that.
Come on, Masha, what are we talking about?
Videodrome. What you see on that show, it's for real. It's not acting. It's snuff TV.
I don't believe it.
He glances at the dancer downstairs as she walks away.
So,
don't believe.
Why do it for real? It's easier and safer to fake it.
Because it has something that you don't have, Max. It has a philosophy. And that is what makes it dangerous.
Whose philosophy? There must be a name. Give me a name I can talk to. Masha, you know me. I stay away from the scary stuff.
Max, you are going to have to be nice to me for this.
We can take a shower together. Anytime you say.
I'm sure you would be very beautiful. But you're a little older than I prefer.
She turns to a young waiter.
Thank you. So much.
She ogles him and Max leans forward.
Sell me a name. And I'll make Apollo and Dionysus part of the package.
That hurts me, Max.
Hey, the world is a shithole, ain't it?
She smiles.
Yes, Max. It is.
Her smile fades.
Brian Oblivion. That is the only name I have to give. Professor Brian Oblivion.
Next, Max strides towards a building. A sign outside reads cathode ray mission.
Wait, you're going.
He leaves through a line of homeless people heading to the same building. He tosses his cigarette and walks through a door. A sign on the door reads, open for lunch, 11:30 a.m. Inside, more vagrants sit before TV screens in makeshift cubicles. Max glances around as he makes his way through the maze-like structure. Graffiti adorns many of the cubicle walls. A staff ushers Max and the others forward. Max frowns as he takes in his surroundings. Max pauses and peers over a cubicle wall at a man watching TV. The man notices and smiles at him. Max advances ahead and spots a dark-haired woman advising a staff. He walks through a door and waits by a chained-off staircase. A sign reading "Staff Only" hangs on it. The woman follows and unfastens one end of the chain.
Bianca Oblivion?
Yes?
I'm Max Wren. I run Civic TV. I did a panel show with Professor Oblivion. The Rena King Show.
Oh, yes. You said some very superficial things. Violence, sex, imagination, catharsis.
My exact words.
What do you want?
I want to talk with your father about a new twist in video that he may not be aware of.
Now, they enter an office and she picks up some mail from a table. He looks around at the artifacts decorating the room and walks up to a window. He parts the curtains and peers downstairs at the cubicles. He smiles at her as she stands beside an ornate desk.
I love the view.
You look like them. Like one of Father's derelicts.
I think it's a style that's coming back.
In their case, Mr. Wren, it's not a style. It's a disease forced on them by their lack of access to the cathode ray tube.
You think a few doses of TV are going to help them?
Watching TV will help patch them back into the world's mixing board.
Absolutely. And I guess you encourage Father's derelicts to make home movies? The world's mixing board?
Professor Oblivion sends video letters all over the world.
Is the professor here?
I am my father's screen.
He smiles and nods. She gestures him to sit and he obeys.
Once you've told me what this little visit is all about, he may choose to send you a cassette. If he does, which format would you like?
If he does, it's going to make conversation a little difficult.
My father has not engaged in conversation for at least 20 years. The monologue is his preferred mode of discourse. Format.
Videodrome.
Is that a Japanese configuration?
He stands.
You've never heard of it?
No.
then there have been serious gaps in your education. Videodrome. Mention it to your father. He may want to have a conversation.
He walks towards the door and turns to her.
I love the view.
He smiles and exits. Nighttime at home, he sits in the living room and lifts a page of his notepad. Videodrome plays on the TV.
Torture, murder, mutilation.
Videodrome. What you see on that show, it's for real.
I'm gonna audition. I was made for that show.
It has something that you don't have, Max. It has a philosophy, and that is what makes it dangerous.
Next in the kitchen, he opens a small bag and unfolds a bundled-up cloth to reveal a gun lying within. He carefully picks it up and studies it. He turns it over and the magazine falls out. He quickly gathers his things and places a newspaper on top of them. He walks to the door and peeks through the peephole before opening it. The brunette strides in.
Hi. This is your wake-up cassette. And this is something that came to the office for you by courier.
What did they say at CRAM?
They said that Nikki Brand is definitely not on assignment for them. She had a month off coming to her. She decided to take it now.
Don't touch that!
He snatches the video drone tape from her and slaps her. Flash, he smacks Nikki.
Jesus, Max, you scared me.
He backs away from her and paces.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know, man. I think I'm getting like a rash or something.
He scratches his belly through his shirt.
What?
Are you all right? Friday, I didn't mean to hit you.
Hit me?
She shakes her head.
You didn't hit me.
No, I know I didn't hit you. I mean...
Do you want me to stay here? You look awful. Can I get you something?
She walks towards the kitchen. He grabs her arm.
I'm exhausted. I was in a deep sleep when you knocked, and I guess I'm still not out of it. I'll remember to set the timer. Don't worry.
You're sure?
I'm sure.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Thanks, Bridie. Tomorrow.
Max, that other cassette is from the office of Brian Oblivion. I promised I'd hand deliver it directly to you. Will you call me if you need me?
He raises his hand in response and closes the door. He picks up the cassette case Bridie left and opens it. He takes out the tape and drops it as the supply reel on it bulges. He glances around nervously and then nudges the tape with his foot. He bends and picks it up. He straightens and shakes the tape. He studies it over and inserts it into the VCR. He presses play. Brian, a mustached man, appears on the TV screen.
The battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drone. The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, the television screen is part of the physical structure of the brain. Therefore, whatever appears on the television screen emerges as raw experience for those who watch it. Therefore, television is reality, and reality is less than television.
Max scoffs.
Max, I'm so glad you came to me. I've been through it all myself, you see. Your reality is already half video hallucination. If you're not careful, it will become total hallucination.
You'll have to learn to live in a very strange new world. I had a brain tumor. And I had visions. I believe the visions caused the tumor and not the reverse. I could feel the visions coalesce and become flesh. Uncontrollable flesh. But when they removed the tumor, it was called Videodrome.
A masked figure garrots Brian.
I was Videodrome's first victim.
But who's behind it? What do they want?
The figure removes the mask to reveal it to be Nikki.
I want you, Max. You.
Nikki smiles softly.
Come to me.
Max steps closer to the TV.
Come to Nikki. Come on. Don't make me wait.
He crouches before it and stares.
Please.
He looks away and blinks. His eyes widen as he notices the sides and top of the TV undulating. He slowly reaches out and touches the top. It swells up and he pulls his hand back. Veins appear on the top and he softly strokes them.
I want you, Max. You.
He stares at the screen.
Come on.
He jerks his head slightly and blinks. He leans towards the screen, which now displays a close-up of Nikki's lips.
Come to me now. Come to Nikki. Don't keep me waiting. Please.
The screen bulges out.
Please.
He presses his face into the screen and Nikki smacks her lips. Next, on a TV at the homeless shelter, lights illuminate a stage decorated with large playing cards. A man watches and a staff places a glass of juice before him.
Today, Lady Luck may smile on these four players.
Bianca approaches the staff.
We can meet a group of people coming this afternoon, so tell the staff about that.
Right. Bianca then walks past the cubicles and strides towards the staircase. She notices Max sitting on the steps and stops. He holds up Brian's tape.
Exciting. Very lively. Careful. It bites.
Now, they enter the office. Max strides to the window and peers downstairs.
You watched the cassette?
Yeah.
And?
Changed my life.
I'm not surprised. It's dangerous, you know.
Because your father admits he's somehow involved with Videodrome?
More than that. Bites. Isn't that what you said? What kind of teeth do you think it has?
It triggered off a series of hallucinations. I woke up with a headache.
First time ever.
No, I've been hallucinating for a while, ever since...
What?
She stares at his back intently.
Since I first saw Videodrome.
He turns to her.
How did you come to be exposed to it?
Pirate satellite dish. An accident.
He shrugs.
I made some tapes.
This is part of my own Videodrome collection.
But that tape is just your father sitting at his desk.
The tone of the hallucinations is determined by the tone of the tape's imagery.
He slumps down in a chair.
But the Videodrome signal, the one that does the damage, it can be delivered under a test, pattern, anything.
He rubs his temples and frowns at her.
Damage.
The signal induces a brain tumor in the viewer. It's the tumor that creates the hallucinations.
You let me watch it?
He grips her arm.
I expect them to come to me eventually to hurt me. I thought it might be you. Now I realize you're just another victim.
She shrugs.
Just like father was.
Where is your father? I think I'd better talk to him.
He's in there.
She gestures to a set of double doors.
I'm afraid he'll disappoint you.
He enters the room and finds racks of tapes.
This is him. This is all that's left.
What are you talking about?
Brian Oblivion died quietly on an operating table 11 months ago.
The brain problem?
The videodrome problem. You have it too.
But he was on that panel show with me.
On tape. He made thousands of them, sometimes three or four a day. I keep him alive as best I can. He had so much to offer. My father helped to create Videodrome. He saw it as the next phase in the evolution of man as a technological animal. When he realized what his partners were going to use it for, he tried to take it away from them. And they killed him. Quietly. At the end, he was convinced that public life on television was more real than private life in the flesh. He wasn't afraid to let his body die.
He places a tape back on a shelf and rubs his forehead.
Tell me about my video drone problem.
My father knows much more about it than I do. Listen to him.
She hands him four cassettes. Next, in the Civic TV office, he strides down a hallway.
Where's Harlan? He's not in the lab.
I think he's up in VTR. Max.
Not now.
He marches into another department and approaches Harlan.
Si, patron.
Have you been hallucinating lately?
No. Should I be?
Yes. You should be.
Nighttime, Max sits shirtless on the couch wearing a gun holster and watches one of Brian's tapes.
I believe that the growth in my head, this head, this one, right here, I think that it is not really a tumor, not an uncontrolled, undirected little bubbling pot of flesh, but that it is, in fact, a new organ, a new part of the brain. I think that massive doses of videodrome signal will ultimately create a new outgrowth of the human brain, which will produce and control hallucination to the point that it will change human reality.
A puckered red line mars Max's abdomen.
After all, there is nothing real outside our perception of reality, is there? You can see that, can't you?
The TV screen flickers and blanks out. Max notices a slit on his abdomen and his eyes widen. He steels himself and carefully brings his gun closer to the slit. He winces as he shoves it inside. He inserts his hand deeper and feels around in the slit. He gets to his feet with his hand still inside it. He grits his teeth and sits back down. He rises again as he yanks his hand out. He frowns at his clean hand and then notices the slit absent from his body. He looks into the holster and finds it empty. He jerkily shakes his head and gets onto the couch. He flips away the seat cushions and then anxiously searches behind the couch. He scans a cluttered coffee table and touches his unmarked stomach in disbelief. He crouches on the couch and picks up a glass of alcohol from the table. He gulps it down. He walks up to the phone and answers it.
Max Wren?
Yes? Who is this?
Barry Convex would like to talk to you about Videodrome. I've got a car waiting downstairs for you, sir.
Later, Max ambles towards the front door of his building and peers out of the glass window. He steps out and approaches a limo parked by the curb. He climbs into the back seat. Next, the car drives down a street. Max stares at the driver through the partition window.
Please direct your attention to the television set in front of you, Mr. Wren. Mr. Convex has recorded a little introduction for you.
A text appears on a small TV screen, spectacular optical, keeping an eye on the world. A middle-aged man appears next.
Hi. I'm Barry Convex, Chief of Special Programs, and I'd like to invite you into the world, spectacular optical. An enthusiastic global corporate citizen. We make inexpensive glasses for the Third World and missile guidance systems for NATO. We also make Videodrome, Max. And as I'm sure you know, when it's ready for the marketplace, things will never be quite the same again. It can be a giant hallucination machine and much, much more. But it's not ready. Those were test transmissions you picked up. We thought nobody could tap into them.
He's good, that Harlan. Good pirate.
Barry shrugs.
Well, now that you have, I think we ought to have a little talk, don't you? I thought maybe... my place?
The limo pulls up outside a shop. Max notices a sign which reads Spectacular Optical. Next, he peers into a room through a glass door. He enters and glances around as he walks ahead. He stops by a rack of glasses and picks one up. He dons it and looks at his reflection in a small mirror. He frowns and then sets the glasses back on the shelf. He approaches a cabinet and pulls out two drawers to reveal more glasses inside. He selects one with a hexagonal frame and puts it on. He smirks.
I hope you realize you're playing with dynamite. That's our spring line. Top secret stuff. I brought it with me for a trade show here in town later this week. Max Wren.
I'm Barry Convex.
He shakes Max's hand.
I think that machinery you're wearing is too much for the shape of your face. Overwhelms you. Try something more, spidery. More delicate.
Now, Barry picks up a chunky helmet-like device from a box.
Here she is. This is our prototype. This is the little number that started it all.
Max, I would like you to try this on for size. I would like to use this machine to record one of your hallucinations. Now. And I would like to take that tape back with me to home base for analysis.
Max steps up to him and stares at the device.
Do I get to keep the copyright? I mean, I hate to see it show up as a movie of the week and not get paid for it.
Max, I'm trying to help you.
What makes you think I need help, Barry?
None of our test subjects has returned to normality. They're all in need of intensive psychiatric care. Now, you seem to be functioning reasonably well so far. I'd like to find out why. And I think an analysis of one of your hallucinations would be the right place to start.
He pulls up a chair and Max sits.
Will it hurt?
It won't hurt you.
You might catch yourself sliding in and out of a hallucinatory state after this is all over. If you do, just relax and enjoy it. It'll soon go away. But for now...
I think that you'll find a little S&M. Be necessary to trigger off a good, healthy series of hallucinations. That's why our Videodrome show is so strange. Something to do with the effects of exposure to violence in the nervous system. It opens up receptors in the brain and the spine, and that allows the Videodrome signal to sink in.
You mean I'm gonna have to hurt you, Barry?
Afraid not. You don't have to actually hurt anybody. You just have to think about it.
Max puts on the helmet and sees the room bathed in a red light. Barry fiddles with the controls and a bright white light fills Max's view.
That's too bright. I
forgot. Sorry.
Shit.
What's that?
He turns off the lights.
Yeah, that's fine.
Barry pushes a button on the back of the helmet and it radiates a red light.
Okay, we're rolling. The taping mechanism is all self-contained. You don't have to do anything now but hallucinate.
Yeah, okay.
He moves his hands in front of the helmet and then lowers them.
I'll come back for you later.
You'll forgive me if I don't stay around to watch. I just can't cope with the freaky stuff.
He leaves the room. Max sits still in the chair and slowly turns his head from side to side. He rests his palms on his thighs and stares ahead. He sees Nikki entering the room and sauntering towards him. She walks past him and picks up a whip from a nearby rack.
Nikki.
Well, here we are at last. Right where we ought to be. On Videodrome.
She hands it to him and he rises. He notices his helmet gone and finds himself in the Videodrome room. His eyes widen as he sees Nikki on a TV screen with her hands tied up.
What are you waiting for, lover? Let's perform. Let's open those neural floodgates.
She turns her back to him. He runs the whip over the top of the TV as he strides past and stands behind it. He hesitates and then flogs the TV. Grins and continues whipping it. On the screen, Marsha stands in place of Nikki and gasps. She grits her teeth as he flogs harder. Now, Max startles awake on his bed. He sits up on his elbows and peers into the living room through the open doors. He finds his TV screen filled with static.
What's going on, Professor Oblivion? I mean, really?
He lies back down and covers his face with a pillow. He turns over and frowns. He spots a large bulge lying under the blanket at his side. He lowers the covers and finds Masha's corpse with whip marks on her back. He rolls her over and springs off the bed. He stares at the ball gag in her mouth and her bound hands. She lies still and stares off vacantly. He slowly inches towards her and covers the body with the blanket. He rests his hand on a wall and sighs. He strides into the living room and closes the bedroom doors. He sits on the coffee table and picks up the telephone. He quickly dials a number and switches off the TV.
You come over to my apartment right away. Yeah, I'm serious.
Later.
Come on in.
Well, here I am, Patron. Camera, flash gun. What's up? You want to be a centerfold?
I want you to go into my bedroom, and I want you to take a look at what's in my bed. Uncover it. Don't be shy. I want pictures.
Harlan smirks with his hands in his pockets.
Pictures of what's in your bed?
Yeah, do it.
Sure. Okay.
Max sits down on a step and rests his head in his hands. Harlan walks into the darkened bedroom and purses his lips. He turns around and faces Max.
Well?
Harlan leans against the door frame.
Max.
He glances into the room and shakes his head.
I don't see anything. You didn't just want me to shoot your bed, pillows, sheets, did you?
Max gets to his feet and hurries to the room. His eyes widen and he looks under the bed. He pulls the covers back to find the corpse gun and throws himself onto the bed.
Max, are you in some kind of drug warp? I've got friends who can help. Bridie said she came by a couple of days ago.
Did you take video drone last night?
Yeah, if it was transmitted, the machine would have caught it.
I'll meet you in the lab in 1 hour. I want to see it.
Jeez, Max, it's not even 7
hours. Well, I am not just fucking around. Do you understand me?
Well, fuck you. I'm not just some fucking servo mechanism you can switch on and off. You want me to fall out of bed and run around like an asshole? You tell me what I'm doing it for. No. Otherwise, I'll see you during office hours,
yeah,
Patron.
No. Harlan, you're right. It's momentum. I'm running like an express train here. I don't know how to stop. Look, I'll meet you in the lab in 1 hour, okay? And then, see if we pulled in any video drone last night, and I'll tell you what's going on. Everything, I promise. Okay?
Hey, I'm sorry I freaked out on your control. I don't work with you for the money.
I know that. With pirates, it's never just for the money, is it? You want a cup of coffee? No, look, I'll meet you in the lab in 1 hour.
Okay. He opens the door and Harlan leaves. Daytime, Max strides up to the Civic TV office building and unlocks the front door. Inside, he walks down a corridor and descends a staircase. He approaches a door and finds it locked. He knocks. Harlan opens it.
What?
Max enters and Harlan shuts the door.
Did you look at the tape? Did you see me on Videodrome?
There was no tape.
There was no Videodrome transmission last night?
Not last night.
Oh, fuck.
Not ever.
Max gives him a quizzical look.
What are you talking about?
Harlan smiles softly.
I'm out of my depth now, Patron. I had to bring in the reinforcements.
He opens the door and Barry walks in. Barry smiles at Max.
Max? An intriguing combination. Very interesting.
Don't let me interrupt.
I think I was saying something like, what are you talking about?
I was playing your tapes, Max. Pre-recorded cassettes.
Max briefly closes his eyes.
Videodrome has never been transmitted on an open broadcast circuit. Not yet.
I guess Barry sent you here, what, 2 years ago? It has been 2 years, hasn't it, Harlan?
Two wonderful years.
Why?
Barry raises his brow and glances at Harlan.
Get you involved. Expose you to the Videodrome signal.
It didn't affect you because you never watched it.
He paces and shrugs.
You knew what was there. You didn't have to see it.
It really does work on just about anybody.
Anybody who watches it, Max. But why would anybody watch it? Why would anybody watch a scum show like Videodrome? Why did you watch it, Max?
Business reasons.
Sure. Sure. What about the other reasons? Why deny you get your kicks out of watching torture and murder?
You murdered Brian Oblivion, didn't you, you freak? Did you enjoy that?
He steps back from Barry and sits by a machine.
North America's getting soft, Patron. And the rest of the world is getting tough. Very, very tough. We're entering savage new times. And we're going to have to be pure and direct and strong if we're going to survive them. Now, you and this cesspool you call a television station, and your people who wallow around in it, and your viewers who watch you do it, you're rotting us away from the inside. We intend to stop that rot.
We're going to start with Channel 83, Max. We're going to use it for our first authentic transmissions of Videodrome. I have a hunch it's going to be very popular. For a while.
I've got to be hallucinating now, right? I mean,
he grins.
You two can't possibly be for real.
He stands.
We did record your hallucinations, Max. As I said, we would. And we did analyze them. You're ready for something new.
That's terrific.
Barry holds out a Betamax tape and Max hallucinates it undulating. A strong wind ruffles Max's hair.
What do you want from me?
I want you to open up, Max. Open up to me.
The buttons of Max's shirt pop open to reveal the slit on his abdomen. Max presses himself against the door as Barry walks up to him with the tape.
I've got something I want to play for you.
Max trembles.
Oh my God!
Barry inserts the tape inside the slit and yanks his hand out. Max drops to his knees and collapses face first on the floor. Barry shares a look with Harlan and they exit the lab. Max winces in pain and slowly army crawls out of the door.
We want Channel 83, Max. Give it to us. Give us Channel 83. Kill your partners. Kill them. Kill your partners and give us Channel 83.
Max leans on the corridor wall. Sweat shines on his forehead. He reaches into the slit with his right hand and fumbles around. He pulls out the gun, now covered in slime. He points it ahead and a drop of slime drips down on the floor. He watches in shock as a set of screws protrude from his fingertips. He trembles as the screws grow in size and pierce through his palm. One extends from the back of the gun and fuses itself into his wrist like the others. He tries to release his grip on the gun but fails. His eyes widen and he lowers his shirt sleeve. He finds the end of the screws running along his arms like veins. He grits his teeth as he turns his hand over and examines it. He rests his head on the wall and closes his eyes.
Give us Channel 83. Kill your partners. Kill them. Kill your partners and give us Channel 83.
Later, a colleague passes Max on the staircase. Max stares ahead blankly and stalks down the corridor. He walks past a young man.
How you doing, Max?
Max ignores him and approaches Bridie, who works at her desk.
Where's
He's in a meeting with Rafe. I'll tell him you want.
He sets the receiver down. He steps up to the conference room door and glances around. He enters and finds the balding man and the tall man sitting at the table.
Dubbing a funny track? Gentle color.
Mm-hmm. And you'd be the one to write it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I used to write in high school. I haven't lost it.
Hi, Max.
Hey, just in time to throw some light on an interesting problem.
Max draws his gun from inside his jacket and cocks it.
Don't.
He shoots the balding man in the arm and the chest. The tall man stands and backs up against the wall as Max steps forward.
Max.
He slumps down to the floor and Max fires. Friday walks in and Max hides the gun.
Max, what happened? Are you hurt?
They killed us. They killed us.
He marches out and bumps into a female colleague. Friday leads him down the corridor.
In here.
They enter a small room.
Get out. Just clear out of here. Come, get out.
Max sits. He strides up to a second door.
Max! Max!
He leaves. Outside, a worker picks up a door as Max hurries out through an archway. Max hides his right hand inside his jacket and marches past two workers carrying another door. He pulls out the gun from his jacket and furtively glances over his shoulder. He steps to the side and zips up his jacket. He pockets his hands and rushes away. Nighttime, he approaches the shelter and finds a sign on the door reading "Closed for alterations."
Kill Bianca Oblivion. She knows too much. She can hurt us. Don't let her hurt us, Max. Bianca Oblivion.
Max walks through a chain link gate and strides up to the back door. He finds it locked and smashes its tinted glass window with his elbow. He reaches inside and unlocks the door. He trudges across a darkened room and passes the makeshift cubicles. He pauses at the top of a staircase and glances around. He notices a meal laid out on a table in a cubicle and walks towards it. He stops in his tracks and hides in the shadows as Bianca walks towards the table with a set of tapes.
Bianca Oblivion.
She whirls around.
I run Civic TV. I was on a talk show with your father.
She smiles.
So it was to be you after all. You've come to kill me.
No, I'm Max Wren. I run Civic TV. I don't...
He steps out of the shadows and shakes his head.
I don't kill people.
Oh, but you do. You're an assassin now. A Videodrome. They can program you. They can play you like a videotape recorder. They can make you do what they want. And they want you to destroy whatever is left of Brian Oblivion.
He unzips his jacket.
They want you to destroy me.
Destroy you.
He takes out his hand and aims the gun at her. Slime and blood coat both his hand and the gun. Bianca hurries down an aisle. Max chases her from across the cubicles. He reaches the end and finds her gone. He sees a silhouette on a hospital partition screen covering a cubicle. He rips the paper screen and sees a TV. On it, a gloved hand strangles Nikki.
They killed her, Max. They killed Nikki Brand.
He pushes the partition away.
She died on Videodrome. They used her image to seduce you, but she was already dead. Don't back away. I stole it from them just for you to see.
Static fills the screen and a hand stretches out from within it.
Videodrome is death.
The static-filled screen turns into a fleshy one and the hand resembles Max's. The TV hand fires a gun and Max drops to his knees. Blood drips from the fleshy TV screen in the same places as Max's bullet wounds.
That's better. So much better.
The wounds disappear from Max's body.
It's always painful to remove the cassette. Change the program. But now that we have, you'll see that you've become something quite different from what you were.
She stands in front of him.
You've become the video word made flesh.
I am the video word made flesh.
Now that you are the video word made flesh, you know what you have to do. You turn against Videodrome. You use the weapons they've given you to destroy them. Death to Videodrome. Long live the new flesh.
He fists his hand.
Death to Videodrome.
Tears trickle down his cheeks.
Long live the new flesh.
Daytime, Max stands on a sidewalk and stares across the street at the spectacular optical shop. He walks ahead and pauses beside a homeless man's TV, which plays a news report.
It was only 26 hours ago in the building you see behind me that a bizarre, apparently motiveless shooting occurred, which has triggered off an intensive manhunt by Metro Police. 34-year-old Max Wren, president of the Civic TV Corporation, is being sought in connection with the shooting deaths of two executives, Channel 83.
You see the monkey dance? You pay the piper. See what I'm saying, Daddy? You know how much my monkey's batteries cost? They don't last in the cold. The cold knocks them right out. I can't dance. You know I would if I could, but I can't, so you got some change, Teddy?
Max watches Harlan strides into the shop.
Yeah, quarter. You got some. You got some. You just put a little something. Teddy!
He frowns as Max stalks away. Max crosses the street and enters the shop. A woman tries on glasses at the counter while a few customers sit in chairs. Max picks up the brochure from a table and pretends to read it before tossing it back. He fervently looks around and walks to the rack of glasses. He starts to advance and a bald man beams at him.
Well, go on, Spar. They call me Brawley. May I come and help you, sir?
Just looking.
Ciao, man. Well, that's a good one. There ain't much to see here, but take your time and have a good look anyway. Now, what is?
He tends to the woman.
Sure, this is one hell of a script you got here. Very tricky grind. Can't imagine you'd see things too clear without them, you know. But don't worry at all. I might get you fixed up.
Max slips into a storage room in the back and smiles. Harlan tapes up a cardboard box and watches as Max peeks into an adjoining room.
Where's Convex?
Oh, setting up this trade show. I'll introduce the spring line.
What's in the box?
Your head. Got your head in this box. Busy, Max. Been reading about you in the papers.
Max grins.
Have you been to see Bianca Oblivion?
I saw her.
And she give you any trouble?
No.
No. That's good. Maybe you'd like to visit somebody else now. Is that why you're here?
Maybe.
Harlan steps up to him.
You've been very useful to us, Max.
We'd like to keep using you until you're all gone.
He holds a tape made of undulating flesh.
Open up to me.
Max glances at it and unbuttons his shirt.
That's something I want to play for you.
He brings the tape closer to Max's abdomen. He tries to pull out his hand from the slit and fails. A string wind ruffles his hair and his eyes widen. Blood drips from the slit and Harlan finally yanks his arm out. He stares in horror as he finds a ball of flesh attached to the stump of his arm. He sobs as he walks backwards into the adjoining room. A worker notices and flees. He backs against a wall and Max shrugs.
See you in Pittsburgh.
The fleshy ball explodes and smoke billows around Harlan. Max steps out through a gaping hole in the wall and walks down a street. He passes a mother and a child. Nighttime, Max enters a posh hotel and strides towards a reception table. He grabs a booklet and marches through a door. A sign beside the door reads, "Spectacular Optical welcomes you. Displays of our new line Medici, love comes in at the eye." Now in a large hall, he weaves through tables as he makes his way across the room. Three men and women dressed in colorful costumes perform magic tricks on a stage. One of them opens a box to reveal a bust. Max sits at a table with his back to them. On stage, the three men lower the dresses of the women who step forward wearing silver-colored leotards. Max opens the booklet and scans the crowd. Women in glittery leotards carry trays of eyeglasses around the room. A guest nods approvingly at a woman beside him. On stage, the performers spin and spread their arms wide. They sway their heads from side to side and glide across the stage. They twirl again and finish with a flourish. Barry walks onto the stage with a mic and the performers sit on some steps behind him.
Well, you know me.
Yeah, we know you.
And I sure know you. Everyone!
Max slowly turns around to face him.
We're here to celebrate the arrival of our spring collection, the Medici line. And our theme for this year is based on two quotes from the famous Renaissance statesman and patron of the arts, Lorenzo de Medici. Love comes in at the eye, and the eye is the window of the soul. Now, I think that even Pete ought to be able to sell the hell out of a classy campaign like that.
Max strides onto the stage with a slimy flash completely coating his fused hand. Barry's eyes widen as Max aims at him. The performers scurry as Barry walks up the steps. Max fires into his abdomen and forehead. Barry collapses on the floor and convulses.
Get the video drone! Long live the new flesh!
He drops the mic and flees. Blood spurts out as large tumors burst out of Barry's body. He writhes in agony as his chest and head rips apart. Meanwhile, Max pockets his fused hand as he hurries out with the other guests. He pauses and glances over his shoulder before exiting the hotel. Daytime, he strides down a dusty rail track with his hands in his pockets. He approaches a chain gate and pushes it open. A rusted sign on the fence reads, "Keep out, by order of harbor commissioners." He He slips through the gap and hurries across the deserted harbor. A gloomy sky hangs overhead. Now, Max makes his way across a dock littered with wooden beams, barrels, and other objects. He approaches a derelict boat and jumps on board. He looks around and walks along the deck. He passes a sign reading, "Condemned vessel by order of Toronto Harbor Commissioners, by law number 7812. He opens a tarnished door and steps through it. He walks into a dimly lit, grimy room and rocks a large chain hanging from the ceiling. He paces and glances at the junk strewn across the room. A tattered mattress lies on the floor on one side with a bundle of blankets atop it. He reaches into a barrel and touches the soot inside it. He moves the mattress closer to a wall and plops down on the blankets. He finds an empty glass bottle beside him and casts it aside. He notices a cigarette pack and looks inside it. He finds it empty and his shoulders sag. He tosses it away and leans back on the wall. He closes his eyes and slowly runs his hand over his face. He opens his eyes and stares ahead intensely. He fists his hand and lowers it. He blinks and sees Nikki on a TV screen before him.
I was hoping you'd be back.
I'm here to guide you, Max. I've learned a lot since I last saw you. I've learned that death is not the end. I can help you.
I don't know where I am now. I'm having trouble finding my way around.
That's because you've gone just about as far as you can with the way things are. Videodrome still exists. It's very big, very complex. You've hurt them, but you haven't destroyed them. To do that, you have to go on to the next phase.
What phase is that?
Your body has already done a lot of changing, but that's only the beginning. The beginning of the new flesh. You have to go all the way now. A total transformation. Do you think you're ready?
I guess I am. How do we do it?
To become the new flesh, you first have to kill the old flesh. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let your body die. Just come to me, Max. Come to Nikki. Watch. I'll show you how. It's easy.
On screen, Max stands beside the mattress as flames rise up from the barrel. He kneels before the fire and slowly raises his fused hand to his temple. His eyes glisten.
Long live the new flesh.
He fires and bloody guts and flesh spill out from the screen. Max flinches and then watches as smoke billows out of the shattered screen. He gets to his feet and unzips his jacket. He kneels before the fire and stares unblinkingly into the flames. He lifts up his gaze and slowly points the gun to his temple.
Long live the new flesh.
closes his eyes and smiles. End credits begin. Starring James Woods as Max Wren, Sonia Smits as Bianca Oblivion, Deborah Harry as Nikki Brand, Peter Dvorsky as Harlan, Leigh Carlson as Barry Convex. Described video provided by BMI. End credits continue.